the rest of the story. When there are a number of eyewitnesses to a crime and the criminal is as yet unidentified, they call in a police artist, and that artist makes what's called a composite illustration from the various eyes and noses and hair and so on. A composite illustration from the descriptions of the witnesses. Well, now, what I'm going to tell you about is something like that. In 1936, an established Midwestern company summoned an artist to its headquarters, and this artist was introduced to the employees, and from that meeting, the artist, Nasa McMine, walked away with a composite drawing. It was an illustration so detailed and so lifelike that one seeing it would be certain that he could identify the person it represented, and I have that illustration before me right now, and the face is that of a middle-aged woman. Her hair is done in the style of the day. She has large, soft eyes and full lips. She's wearing a frill at her collar. A criminal? No, not a criminal. In fact, the person in the artist's rendering was not a real woman at all, but was a composite. A composite of the facial features borrowed from all of the women who worked for the company. The resultant picture was to become a corporate logo of sorts. But when the logo was unveiled in 1936, consumers believed that she was real, and they identified with her. And her subsequent success story is the rest of the story. 15 years before that composite illustration was presented to the public, the woman it represented had a name and even a signature. Her autograph was derived much as her likeness was from the company's female employees, all of whom were invited to submit a signature. And the one chosen in 1921 remains unchanged to this day. In 1924, the autograph acquired a voice, many voices actually, over 13 regional radio stations. But the real drama unfolded a dozen years later with the unveiling of the illustration of this soon-to-be-famous face. That face was to be artistically reinterpreted several times subsequent. Once in 1955, again in 1965, again in 1968, and again in 1972, and again in 1980. And in 1986, the company symbol was updated again. This time it was updated by the renowned New York artist Harriet Perchik. The changes over the years have not really been significant changes, except in the area of fashion. The portrait's eyes and lips, for example, have remained remarkably the same. But the clothing and the hairstyles have understandably undergone profound and yet appropriate metamorphoses. And yet there's something about the 1955 revamping you ought to know. Six artists were then asked to paint a new lady logo, and the six completed paintings were then shown to 1,600 women nationwide, and those women voted for their favorite picture, and the winner was an illustration by somebody named Hilda Taylor. I know, you never heard of her. But it's interesting to me that among the rejected portraits was one by a name you do know, a fellow named Norman Rockwell. My goodness, of all of the artists, you'd think he would be able to capture the essence of American womanhood, of the all-American, though non-existent woman, who has come to symbolize homemaking, and particularly baking, the VIP who was never there, Betty Crocker. And now you know the rest of the story.
21 years ago, and now you know the rest of the story.